All right, we're going to get started then. This is the March 21st regular meeting of the Board of Education, starting out with a work session from 6 to 7 tonight. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Mabee.
Here.
Mrs. Greer.
Here.
Mr. Fraker.
Here.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Here.
Mr. Lassiter.
Here.
Okay, we're all here. Can we please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, off to the work session. I guess let's start out with looking at our forecast and kind of see where we're at. And
we're seeing
what we're doing.
Hey, you asked for that, Steve.
I did. I believe you did. We had to. We gave it to
you. This one's
coming. You should be coming.
Oh, did you read it?
You might have to turn that light off over there.
I don't know if that light's going to help it much.
Is it on?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
It'll
work.
Welcome.
It just has to warm up, I think.
Start
out with what we know where we're at, and then let's move into the governor's budget kind of as we know it, and then we'll go from there.
Why don't we just do it with this page? Would that work?
Yes.
For right now?
That'll work.
Okay. Current right now, if we look at our revenue, it's $47 million. And then $180,000. The one line item, I'm going to highlight it here, that one, property tax allocation, is one that is in very deep discussion in that they are now thinking of a different way to hold harmless from the tangible personal property tax replacement. And it goes like this. In fact, I've got a little cheat sheet for you.
I love cheat sheets.
I know you do. What they've done is they've looked at all of our 2010 revenue. Our forecast. Our 2010 revenue lines, lines 101 through 105, which is our real estate, our tangible property tax, income tax if we had it, unrestricted grants and aids, restricted grants and aids, and property tax. Think about what's in that restricted grants and aids in 2010. $800,000 of stimulus dollars was in there.
Ooh.
Okay? Remember that stimulus is there. It won't be there anymore after this year. Okay. So let's go back to that. So property tax. So what they've done is take that 2010, and if your replacement is more than 2%, then you're only going to lose 2% a year. If it's less than 2%, you lose it immediately in 2012.
So your tangible
total replacement. Exactly.
Right.
The tangible replacement. Remember that we had over $1 million coming in there this year. Or not a million. We had. That's what makes it hard here. And for next year, it's $9 million, and of that is probably $1.5 million, $1.7 million is about homestead and rollback. So the rest of that's tangible replacement. So that, when you look at the comparison, you see that we've got it coming out. We've got 9.3 million. Next year is $8.4 million. So this is the amount right now that I'm showing that we'll lose because of that. So $900,000. Now you're going to lose that same amount until it's gone.
That's based on this calculation.
That's
right?
Based on that calculation. Okay. So for us, it's 2019. 2018 will be our last year.
So you lose 900 every year?
900,000 every year.
Every year. So for the next 2 years, we were not supposed to lose anything. So that's $1.8 million over the next 2 years.
And we were not anticipating losing.
Right.
So what's that 2% thing again?
If you have more than 2% of your total revenue.
That was tangible.
That was tangible.
That was tangible.
Replacement.
That was tangible replacement.
So our total revenue is 47.
Right. And 2%, we have more than 2% of our 40, right. Then it'll go out at 2% per year. If we didn't have 2%, you'd lose it completely right there.
Okay.
This year.
So that's the quote-unquote hold, harmless, make us whole kind of thing to the tune of 900,000 a year combined.
It's a slower bleed is what it is.
Yes.
It's a faster bleed for the first 2 years, and then it's a slower bleed.
Right.
Well, so it's a slower bleed compared to what we thought it was going to be after the first 2 years.
After
the two years, we didn't expect any loss of tangible property. I don't know. Let me back up to everybody that's in here, just so everybody kind of follows along. Remember, in 2005, the state of Ohio changed the tax code, and then we had 30% of our total taxable pieces of property in this community were tangible personal property, which is the property that was machinery, equipment, and inventory. And that went away. The state then made a new tax called the CAT tax, started reimbursing the districts back for that, but now have decided that it's going to go away faster. $900,000 a year is a lot of money. So we're just going to have to figure out. In the end, this community is, for us, it's 13-plus mills.
Yes.
In the end, once it's all gone.
Mm-hmm.
This value would be worth that we would have to pass in this community just to recoup what was taken away from us. A little over $10 million. So that's kind of where we are.
Line 1.03.
I have a question.
Yeah.
The CAT tax. When does that theoretically kick back in?
Well, it should have. They 70% of it was to go to back to reimburse schools.
Right.
And that's gone away. Well, in the budget, there is no.
So what are they doing with this?
Well, they're not realizing as much money because of the economy as they thought they would.
They're putting it back into the regular fund.
The state of Ohio is putting it back into their fund.
General fund?
Yes.
Yes.
And then they're using the savings from tangible personal property to turn back around and pay the districts back for the state part of their funding, correct?
Well, the per pupil.
So. That's what I mean. Does that make sense? So it's like, you know, they're going to take some away, and then in order to give us that increase they said they were giving us, they're taking that part of our tangible away from us and giving it back to us in a different line item.
I get it.
Like the lottery.
Yeah. And it really doesn't work.
Well, because of the economy, they're not collecting. The whole point of that was to give a break to businesses to make it more conducive for businesses to want to be here. That was the whole point of redoing the tax. And they're not bringing in as much revenue as they anticipated under the CAT tax.
Right.
But all the businesses that were here, just so I make sure I get this right, all the businesses that were here weren't going anywhere, right? In other words, it wasn't a very good deal for us,
as a
community. I mean, we built the infrastructure. We put together. Now, Honda was here 25 years. Scott was here 150 years, whatever it is. And so, you know, it wasn't. I mean, to land another fish like that was. I mean, what were the chances?
None.
Right. Okay. I'm just saying it doesn't work for me.
They've calculated of the $8 billion deficit for the state, 3.1 is coming from the schools. So
3.1 billion
is coming from the schools throughout the state.
Just in TPP replacement?
No.
Just overall.
Okay.
Okay, so the other part here, if you look at the governor's budget, the current and the unrestricted, that's our basic aid. We are $4,000 right now being on the formula, which means our number of our students dictates how much we're going to get. So it's going by the number of students. If that 4,000 shifts the other way, we'll be on the guarantee. What they're telling the guarantee districts are, take whatever you've got and take a 2% decrease. That's what I'm showing right there. We'll probably go on the guarantee next year. We don't know how they are going to do that yet. We're supposed to have simulations maybe tomorrow, maybe Wednesday morning, on what it looks like per district as far as our basic aid. But right now, we don't know. So this is a total guess right there.
When do they determine whether we're on the guarantee or not?
It's based on our number of students.
From October or from?
Our October. And it'll
last
go,
October?
Yeah. Okay. The last budget bill said it would be based on the year before's numbers unless you increase by 2%. Our numbers, we were real close to that 2% this year, so it should be based on this past year's October numbers, and by the growth, we'll go on to a guarantee probably. We'll see what happens with it. But that's the other area there. The restricted is odds and ends out of there that we've taken out.
If you had to guess, you know, derrieres in the seats, how close are we?
Probably 10 to 15.
Kids,
yeah. Another 10 to 15. Difference? Because it's real close. Real, real close.
That is close.
And the other thing is,
have
it's
have a giveaway.
You know, the community schools are still going to be counted the same way that they are right now. They're giving out more vouchers, so more kids can go out. There's going to be added community schools out there. So those are the things that they're looking at. I was on an hour and a half phone conference with OASBO today and other treasurers just trying to glean with the lobbyist what it's doing. So right now it's a guessing game because nobody can get the numbers from the executive branch. We can't get the information on how they figured any of this. So where it's at. So those are the areas. Property tax allocations. It's $1.3 million less in revenue. So we take our current budget here, and then we had the governor's budget. And then after I had done that, I learned about another thing that's in the governor's budget that we learned Wednesday night. 2%, he wants the retirement. Our portion has always been 14%. The district's portion has always been 14% to pay. When I first started, it was about 8% for employees. It's now up to 10% for employees' portion. That's their portion, so it's a 24% retirement. He wants the new portion to be 2% from the employer pushed over to 2% more for the employee, so it'd be a 12-12 split. If with that, that's why I labeled with retirement, that would decrease that line by about $600,000. Just that, and that's a real rough estimate just by taking 2% off on our retirement fringe benefit line. So we go from $1.4 million deficit governor's budget to $800,000 deficit. From what I had with our changes in our valuations from the fall, at 73,000. So, this is just so rough that I know there's a lot of school districts already making cuts and everything, but I know we've got, you know, there's things we've got to look at, but just so that you know, you can run from anywhere from $1.5 million to $1 million or $2 million. Until we know what this number here is, this restricted aid, that's a tough one.
No. I guess maybe it was our last work session when we were talking about the 20 to 30% cuts that were coming down the line. Those, if I remember correctly, those were actually, we accounted for those.
We accounted for all the stimulus dollars coming out.
Okay.
We'd already accounted for
so
this.
That's when we were talking about the 20 to 30% cut, we were only considering the stimulus dollars?
No, that was at the February meeting that we were talking about the 20 to 30% cut.
No, in the last work session, we talked about 20 to 30%.
Yeah, because we'd heard it from ODE.
Yeah, we had heard it,
but
and I thought it was included in those
no,
numbers.
It was not, because we had heard that take the stimulus and then figure a little bit less in because they didn't think it was going to be quite as much.
You asked specifically if those 20 to 30% cuts were included in our analysis, and you said yes. That's what I recall. I just listened to it before I got here.
I don't know. Are we looking at the same thing we were looking at in well, I mean, I don't know. That was a
while
ago.
I'm trying to understand, because at that time we were considering talking about a budget freeze going into that meeting, and the forecast popped way up, and you asked if there's 20 to 30% cuts included in that forecast. And then I clarified the question, and you said, yes, those 20 to 30% cuts are accounted for in this budget. I don't remember exact words, but I mean, maybe it was a miscommunication at that point, but what we're saying now is that wasn't the case, so we didn't take into account what
I don't think you're allowed to forecast that. If it's not set in stone, you can't turn that
into a
forecast.
I understand in terms of what comes out in October, but I'm talking about our work session
is
what
we had
to figure out where we were and to consider the bad news on the street, because I know that's what we did at High Point. I know
sure.
It sounds like that's what the city and everybody else looked at. They looked at these things are real, they're coming, so are we going to prepare for that? And your question was very specific to that point, was is this taking that into account? And the answer, I thought, I'm pretty sure it was yes.
And I think at that point we were, because that was like August, July and August, and then we'd gotten some other information when we did the final
Okay. And that's all I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
If we accounted for it there, then let's.
Point,
I want to try to understand
what
else.
And I think at that point we were looking at that, Doug, and at that, and then in when we were doing the forecast in September and October, they said take the stimulus, and a lot of them were just saying another 3% for it, because everybody was, it was looking better because there was more money coming in. The revenues were better and everything,
right.
So that's why we did not take as much out.
Got it.
Because
I mean, from my perspective, just understanding, you know, when we're talking about those cuts.
And I think that's what we said in our notes and everything to you, that's what we did at the forecast.
Okay, so then the next question is how do the cuts that we're seeing now match up to the 20 to 30% that was being talked about back then?
Well, I think they're worse than they were.
Worse than 30%?
Yeah, because we weren't taken into any consideration. It would have only been that $483,000 at that point extra, because we wouldn't have had that $900,000. At that point, nobody. That's the area that's really.
And I'm just trying to understand it. Please don't take me wrong.
And I understand. Yeah, back we were trying to figure out, because nobody knew at that time what was going to happen.
That would have been a 20-30%. Decrease in line 103.5, right?
Yeah.
And that's
what we
were forecasting.
We weren't even talking about 1.05 at that point, because it was supposed to be set in stone for 2 years. And
right.
Nobody had ever even said anything about that at that point in the fall.
And that's what I'm trying to figure out. How does it all net out? Like, when it's all said and done,
it
how much revenue?
It would have been another $480,000 probably is where that extra would have come out at.
Okay.
If we would have taken that out, that would have probably got us a little bit closer to where that. I think that's probably about where it would have been for this coming year.
I'll see if I can reconcile it.
Yeah.
If I have questions, I'll let.
Yeah, because we from August to October, there was a lot of changes in there, not knowing what was happening. The economy was coming up. All the revenues. If you look at what we are looking at, it looks like the revenues. Their revenues are coming in higher than projection, and they still are. So that's why this whole thing, that $900,000, to me is where that's the big thing.
Okay. It actually, the tangible is actually a surprise on a lot of different fronts, because, you know, again, our discussions in Columbus is that, you know, if you remember back one budget ago, the Republican Party and had placed that in the budget.
The Strickland's vetoed it, yeah, so you would think that...
And you would have thought there would have been some thinking about extending that, because if they extend it like was placed in the Strickland budget before, that $900,000 would not be a deficit. It would always be given back to this community.
Right.
Because this community, once collected that tax locally, it would be holding that community, be holding your community harmless for a period of time forward. Right. And again, that's what we're working on. It's still what we're working on.
Yeah, this isn't set in stone yet.
It's
right?
not set
no,
in stone.
None of this is. And that's why I said.
And that's really, in my mind, those are local dollars. That $900,000, those are local dollars taken away. And now we're going to have to give it back or tax ourselves even more. So we're going to have to, we're going to be reducing to that level. We're passing millage. And in the short run, and in the long run, you're looking at losing $900,000 a year.
Right, every year.
Every year.
Additional, right?
That becomes real money.
Real quick.
So, again, to us, that was a surprise.
Yeah.
At that big a number.
Have we, I assume we've, David Burke and...
I have talked to David several times, actually.
Yeah. And we're not alone in this, either.
No. We are not alone in this at all. I've been, we were on the phone quite a bit Friday with Solon and some of the other school districts like us that are losing to this level. And it's the same thing. I mean, to my mind, it's the biggest tax loss this community's ever taken. No question at all about it. And we just have to continue to discuss it. Whether we can do anything about it in the short run, I don't know. But it certainly behooves this community to keep talking about it, because it is a loss. You know, to eliminate $900,000 every year is going to be impossible. Sooner or later, you can't reduce yourself out of this hole. So there's going to be some type of tax consideration in the future to make that up. That's a mil and a half. Every year you lose it. So, you know, it's pretty significant dollars. So it's one of the things that you have to keep out there. And again, is it something in this biennium that is a done deal? You know, we'll have to see. But as far as I'm concerned, it's not a done deal, because I think it needs to continue to be discussed until it's signed.
Not only are we losing it in our general fund, we're losing it in our permanent improvement fund. And I just learned today that that's not just over the way it's supposed to be rolling out until 2018, like it is. It's 25% over the next 4 years. And it's gone.
What's that mean, yearly?
That means...
it's 5 mils.
Yeah, 5 mils of... it's $1 million that's in there right now, so you figure 250,000 for the next 4 years.
It's pretty significant. On the PI side, that's where you buy your buses.
And that's where we have some notes that need to be paid.
Anything that lasts five years or longer, you pay for. If roofs or, you know, the big equipment. That we have.
And
originally it was set on bonds, on the bond side too, and that would have just crippled school districts statewide, so that got corrected pretty quickly, because there would have been a lot of schools that wouldn't have been able to pay for their buildings that they already constructed and your community's already approved.
Right.
They got the bond language, I think, figured out pretty quickly, because they realized all of a sudden what they had done there. The original language included bonds.
So how much is in our PI fund now? And then as we go along, where is that going to put us in 4 years?
When you said that got, well, she's fine out. When you said that got figured out, where did that get figured out at?
In the executive branch, someplace.
In the executive branch, got it.
Because they, in the tax department, right. They scrambled. New language got introduced pretty quickly, actually. I think it happened on Thursday morning, very quickly, after everybody kind of... Are you talking about bonds? Because right. Bonds were included in there, and we would add buildings that we couldn't have paid for. And we wouldn't have been the only ones like that. So, and again, you know, when you lose... This was 30% of our tax base in 05. We can't forget about that because, again... This just gets reduced away to nothing. So basically, you know, you're going to end up with 70% of what was taxable at that particular time paying for 100% of the bills. It's a little difficult to do. Something has to give sooner or later.
I didn't change the PI forecast that we've got out there. You'll see those blanked out areas. Those are the areas that we talk about every spring on what we're going to do and then go forward. But the FY11 is this year. And then on the back page, is what I did was I used the same type of information that we did if it would be paid through the same way as our operating levy, and we'd only be losing $68,000 a year instead, so $250,000 or more. Instead of 68, it's a big blow to that fund also. So
so we're 1.8 million this year, and in 2015 we'll be at 527,000.
Right, if we keep spending the way we are.
Well, that also accounts for the reduction.
Yeah, that already has our house or that.
So I'm saying, so given our budget, based on that, we're going to be down $1.3 million.
Yep.
In fiscal year 15.
Yep.
The $611,000, the switch of 2% to employees side of the STRS or SERS or whatever that is, with everything else happening with the pensions, you know, this was actually a surprise also, kind of sort of. We knew that the governor was probably going to put in something along that spoke to that, but how this works out compared to the other pension bill that's in there and how the two are combined and all those kind of things, that remains to be seen. That's a pretty significant adjustment, but as one legislator told me, it goes a long way to paying back the tangible property. And I said to that legislator, that means that individual people, are picking up and paying for a corporate discount of their tax. I'm not sure how fair that is, honestly. And that's what I expressed to them. So we'll see how that works out. From my standpoint, and I think we're looking at $1.3 million-ish.
For next year?
I think that's what we have to look at. I don't know. If that $611,000 gets added back in there, I'm not sure that's an add, to be very honest, because I think you have to look at what that does to your people. But then again, you know, it's there. It's in the budget. We'll see if it gets signed or not. And then have to react to the district's standpoint. That's a plus, but your individual people that work for you, it isn't. It's a 2% cut. 2% that they're going to have to pick up in benefits.
Well, plus I'm sure there'll be an additional amount. I mean, the point of that whole bill was to stabilize the retirement systems.
I'm not sure the point of the entire bill.
Well, I'm, but, to be very honest. Well, but I get you. Not that bill, but the
state retirement, whatever the bill number, the pension bill.
I mean, it's again, we'll see how this all works out. We won't know this until probably May, June, maybe, you know, when this all works. But so from our standpoint right now, I think we've got about $1.3 million. When I left on Friday, we were looking at maybe $1.8 million that we've got to pay attention to. If it's on the PI side also, we have to pay attention to that because we throw a lot of our purchases of hard, you know, school buses, textbooks, computers, you know, networks, anything that has a 5-year life on the PI side. And if that's getting cut at that level, which we got new word today that that's what was happening, you know, that's a big deal to us because what do you do if a server dies? You know, and where are those dollars coming from?
That's pretty much 2 mils to replace what we're going to lose out of there, right?
On the PI side, yeah, pretty quickly.
Yeah, the PI side.
Pretty quick.
Well, I mean, no, by the end of fiscal 15.
Well, that's
we'll
pretty
be
quickly
down.
In my mind.
Okay. Well, when you say pretty quickly, I thought you were thinking next year.
I
understand it all comes up quickly when.
That's a continuing levy.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, a continuing levy, I don't know, even if you passed it, it'd be interesting because when we originally passed that, our values were a lot higher than what they are now, mm-hmm. district-wide. Where our value is $688 million. You know, that's about the same level as we were in 2003 in this community. So we've got a lot of building going on in this community, but a lot of things that were taxable are no longer taxable from a collection standpoint. So that's kind of where I think we're looking at.
Okay. Well, as I look at that, you pop the kind of the forecast up there with the
governor.
Go with the governor, but without the retirement change. I guess we'll just get into the meat and potatoes part of it.
Okay, you there?
No, I just meant the regular, the first.
I know, but I had to check and see.
Okay. Well, if you would, go down to line 15.
Which one?
The unreserved fund balance.
Oh, okay. Down there? That one?
That's the one.
There you go.
All right, so at the end of next year, we're going to be down $1.4 million.
Right.
And I guess, you know, although we're going to have to get past that number for sure, it's the number next to it that I think is, how do we get from 1.4 to 7 million in 1 year? Are we losing a levy on there?
Nope. Because if you look at your... We're overspending this year by $1.2 million. If you look at 6.01, we're overspending next year by 3.6, and the following year is 6.3.
Well, if you look at that number, your cash balance, you have a 2.2 million carryover to 0.4 negative.
Right.
I mean,
so
that's 3.
Yeah.
3.6 right there. That mm-hmm. So if you just add 3.6 on that, I mean you're pretty close there without making any reductions. You haven't made any reductions.
You know, I'd be curious, and I know Doug maybe brought this up a couple meetings back, but what does that look like if we freeze our budget for next year on this year's level?
On this year's level?
Correct. If we just keep it at this year's level, I'm just kind of curious what that looks like.
Okay, let's see what I can do.
I don't have a dartboard to throw darts up there, so you're going to have to.
What do we have? Personnel services, we want it at 2.9. Oh, gosh, I don't have a calculator. What is this, about
Got one on my phone.
$1 million.
Wow, 100 million. That'll help that number.
There we go. There's 29.5 there. If I took $1 million out, it's 29. Is that close enough?
Okay, that's solid. Let's look at that. I just want to look at that real quick.
Okay.
But I meant like a total. I meant just a total freeze in budget for 1 year.
Okay. Well, I've got to go through each one.
Okay. Go ahead.
Do that.
All right. Not from Patty, if you will. Oh, no, not from anything. I just did it.
We're going to order pizza for what we're going to do.
I brought
one for me, too. This isn't the one we turned into the state, is it?
No.
We're good.
This is the play one.
As long as you got it, I think good.
And I might, some might even already go down a little bit.
I just want a general idea.
That one's already there.
That's fine.
Below.
All right, that's fine.
That one's the same. Okay, we'll take 1,000 out. I can't do anything with this one, and I would suggest that we can't do anything to this one because this one is our mainly our tax bill. So they.
What tab? I'm sorry. What tab is that?
That's other objects.
Okay. All right.
So we'll go back here and see what that does.
We owe the folks that audit our books and collect our taxes.
Yeah.
Apparently they're not kosher with that, right?
You can't short the county for collecting our taxes.
Yeah.
They still charge you.
I thought we were all in the same boat here.
Hey, yeah, right.
Yeah, right. They charge you.
Yeah.
This one I got, by doing what I just did, we came back there, and we are at $203,000, and we're at $48,503,000 to $47,793,000. So we're about $500,000.
Okay, so even to get out of the hole just by, I assume just if you wanted to take those particular line items without cutting services or any of that other stuff, if you just freeze your spending at this year's levels, we're barely out of the hole for next year.
That number seems low.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. I mean, because don't we have...
I mean, even salaries...
$1.4 million in two increases in just two line items projected for next year. Like in 301 and 302. And this is old, so maybe it's changed, but there's $989,000 increase and a $509,000 increase. In
I just took $1 million out of 50, out of the...
Okay, I thought you just... Service. I'm sorry, I thought you just said that the net was... What was the net difference between the two?
200,000. I don't know what's on that tab. I forget.
Right here, with what I just did,
okay,
we're at 47,793,000 for total expenditures. This year it says 48,291,000. So I took out.
What'd you do it? I'm sorry. What'd you do on page?
That's a theoretical freeze. Everything, don't.
Yeah. 302. Right.
You know what? I was looking at that previous number, thinking that.
Yeah.
What was that number before the 2012 number?
For which one?
The expenditures.
Whatever's on your sheet that says governor's budget.
Well, it's about $2 million.
49,455
Is the total
lower $2 million up?
Yeah.
Because I think it was 2.2. You were in the hole, and now you'd be to the plus by 200,000. So,
yeah. Okay.
By freezing everything, basically, you've gained that back. Plus more.
Can you go back over to the forecast?
Gas electric.
Exactly.
For our fuel.
Right. Exactly. No, exactly. Well, it's actually the next year I was concerned. I don't want to say more concerned, but that's...
I mean,
fiscal year 13.
fiscal year 13, by moving that from 2 down to 29, then it pops up to 30 million the following year.
Well, you reduced that number from 7 million down to 4, 6.
Yeah. Exactly.
By holding everything now,
right,
reduces it all out.
Right.
To the future. Is that what you were asking?
Yeah. Yeah, so I want to see what that would do to the next year. Because I knew the numbers would be positive.
I think that was 7 million 2 to the negative there, I think. It was 7 something or other.
Right. So if we're going to get that, if we're going to get that 4 million number down, how would we go about doing that?
That's the second year of the biennium, so whatever this biennium is.
Well, and that might be very tricky because I heard today that the biennium budget, this may be just a 1 year temporary, and then next year they're going to look at it again throughout the year, and it may be different totally come the second year of the biennium.
To the positive, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably.
Absolutely.
That's really rough. They've talked about that a lot, but they've never done it before. But it's always that's always a discussion.
What if you did 2 year freeze? I mean, what does that do to that number?
Let me show you.
Go back.
I don't know.
Well, you're still going to be in the negative. That would be 47 again out there.
Right.
So it's now at 49. So you'd reduce that 4.6 million down to 2.3. Somewhere, maybe a little bit less than that, but not a lot. You did something wrong.
Nope. Because that $1 million is more than that two-year freeze because I had 0 in here.
Okay.
So now we're at 3.9.
Yep.
Instead of 4.6?
Yep.
Well, how come we only got 68,000 in there for next year then? How do we go from 202,000 to 68,000?
If you look here, it's not $1 million difference. In fact, it's no different. Because what happens, I took that 1%, which is based on the raises of 200, so I took that out. We got that's staff members, and that we had a 2% up there for stuff, and it's only 580,000. So you're only, if I do this 2% there and 2% here, you've only got that 700 instead of a full $1 million coming out.
Right.
And then when you take $1 million out here, it's also going to affect your retirement and benefits here. And I still have that 306 out that to bring it down to last year. So it didn't take as much out. It's just taking a straight $1 million out.
I'd like to take our time with that one.
You're looking at
if you just took a straight $1 million out,
okay,
that had a bigger impact than just holding the budget.
Yep. Okay, here's what it is right now. This is what it was: 2% step classification, 1% increase on the steps. That's for next year. That's the amount of money. Those are the teachers coming in. So I didn't do anything. We go and put $1 million, take $1 million out here.
Teachers coming in
from
federal funding?
From federal funds.
That you're putting back in general fund?
Yes, because those are stimulus staff members.
And then in the next year, you take out 600,000.
I only took $1 million out.
Then take another $1 million out the next year. Essentially, that's what they're asking us to do.
Yeah. I was just asking for what it looked like across 2 years.
I mean, that's just the tangible loss. So that takes you down from 7.6
to 3.2.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Okay, that looks right. Okay, so if we were to put, if we were to say, okay, I'm trying to figure that out because at some point, I don't see any way that we can move that number around where we're not going to have to either cut a bunch of services, which may be part of it, but also we're going to have to go to our taxpayers at some point to help. I don't see how we're going to get around. I mean, 3 years out, we're $8 million in the hole.
Well, that's, you've got levies coming off there, too.
Okay, well, that accounts for $2 million of it.
Yeah, 2.8 of it.
The $3 million of it. And we're still $5.6 million in the hole.
No, you'd be 11 million if you didn't have
those levies. Be like
I'm sorry.
You're going to be like every other school district in the state of Ohio at that point.
Yeah.
All right, so on the district side, then, what are we looking at? I mean, there's been some talk about, different... Yeah, what's our retirement, what's our buyout going to save us on there for this year, for next year, fiscal year 12?
I don't know.
4.75.
No. The buyout.
Yeah. I'm guessing $300,000. Okay. It probably will be more than that.
Every year.
Well.
If you don't replace them.
Right. Well, no.
No, that's replacing everybody back.
Oh.
At that level.
Right. So that would be every year then, right?
Correct.
Right. Well, yeah. And it'll
accumulate
a little bit.
So what would it be if you didn't replace anyone who retired?
Well,
just say.
Well, yeah.
How much?
Probably close to $800,000. Probably.
You won't be able to do that. That I will tell you that up front. I mean, you can say you want to do that, but you won't be able to, just because of which positions are retiring and which ones you're going to have to fill, and you don't have anybody else on staff that can replace those people. So, I think you're going to be able to fold in. And the ones that we have, the buyout, I think we're going to be able to replace, actually, I think more than what, or not replace more than what I originally thought we were going to be able to. I think we're going to be able to save those back, but we're not going to be able to, if we have, what do we have as of today? 19, 20?
I think so.
19 folks that have said that they're going to retire, and I think... If you didn't replace, I don't know, 8 to 9 of those, you're gonna have to replace some of them. You're either gonna have to replace those at that level that we anticipated, and hire back the people for the jobs I think you have to hire back for. And we may have to look at some other reductions at that point. I'm going to have it's going to be clear to me when I get everybody at the end of this week that says they're interested in that retirement incentive.
So that's when the deadline is for
it's the end
right.
of this
Deciding.
Week.
25th. So you're somewhere between 3 and 8? 300,000 and 8?
Yeah. It's 300,000... That I believe it's on the conservative side, and that's replacing almost everybody back.
Okay.
But I know that we're not going to replace everybody back.
Right.
I mean, we've looked at this, and we're going to, I think, fold some positions in.
All right.
Again, this is, in my mind, that's the reason why we did this. I would much rather talk about folks voluntarily leaving than a riff, without question.
No doubt. So we
now, whether we can get to that, 50%? The key will be: can we get to that close to, let's say, a $1 million number? And Evan, we may be challenged at that, but that's we've been working at that a lot.
We've got 20 for this coming
20,
year.
20 as 20, of today.
20
right?
for this coming year. And
that's over
11.
And above this freeze thing.
That's correct.
Right.
Yes.
That's over and so above. We're that's not in the number.
So we're looking at another potential half million, conservatively?
Conservatively.
Okay. What's that do for us?
Well, it's half of that number.
Okay. Got it.
But I mean, it's going to be...
That's okay, I got it.
It would be hard to replace. She already took out a million.
Right.
If you're going to take another, we're going to have to talk more than just
understand.
That.
I understand. I'm just...
Yeah.
Work
every
session.
Little bit helps.
But, work
oh, without yeah. question.
That's what that does to it, adding another half.
You're wow. getting closer.
Yeah, okay. Day.
But you'd have to add it to the next year as well, because it saves us every single
right.
year.
Right.
Once we know, I will put those actual... What I will do was we'll put those actual amounts here, what we have to pay out, the extra that we have to pay to the service in here as a plus, and then that will give us a really good idea of what that's going to cost us.
Would the service go there or would it go on purchase services?
It goes here.
It goes
it's
there.
The retire- it's
okay.
The it's a benefit.
If we hadn't done the retirement incentive, and let's say you reduce 8 people out of this, you would have probably had to reduce 20 the other way because of the differential of
salaries
and those kinds of things. It just would have been uglier. But it's our goal, not to go into any kind of a RIF situation. That's the goal. But again, whether we can accomplish that or not. We'll see.
We should probably at least discuss this, but the salary schedule. I mean, if we're going to be bringing these new people on, should we be looking at... Because let's look at the big picture. Let's say we end up putting a levy on the ballot to kind of fix the situation. It's only temporary. All you do is look around the state, and every district eventually gets on a like every other year cycle of passing levies to keep up with the salary increases. And so... there's thought out there. There's think tanks out there and people out there that are writing things on how you can fix that. And, other districts are talking about the only way where you can get out of this vicious cycle of being on the ballot every 2 years, and it's because it is unsustainable, is to revisit how our salaries are determined.
So
I don't know the answer. I'm just saying.
I don't know the answer either. Because, we've had that discussion last month.
Yeah.
I mean, if a teacher enters in to this profession, enter into Marysville at about 32,000, I guess the thinking is that's where they stay forever. Because otherwise, there's no...
suggesting that, though.
There's no... But there's no...
I mean, we spend almost $2.6 million in incentives for people to go to school. Can we readjust that $2.6 million? I mean, that's what, if you take the steps going off to the right,
So if you add up what that
increase is, I'm not saying that those increases aren't there, but can we direct those towards something that we know has an impact on kids in the classroom? That helps, that's more aligned with our district goals. I'm just thinking out loud here. I'm certainly not advocating for anything. I'm just saying that, you got $2.6 million is an incentive for teachers to go out and get more college credits. And,
they're required in most cases to have a master's.
Yeah. Well,
is that still a requirement?
It's pretty much. Yeah.
I just paid for mine, so I hope it's
but
that's 20 G's out of my...
What's that?
Here's the real problem is that what compounds that problem is if we said, well, our revenue was static across the 5 years,
right,
then it would be a different issue. The problem is that we're continually, even though we're spending less every year, we're getting less in from the state, which makes it even more unsustainable.
Understood. Yes, I agree. There's two issues here. One is revenue, and the other one is expenses. The expenses aren't constrained by revenue in any way. So the expenses continue to go up, and even if we didn't have the revenue cuts, we would be in trouble. I mean, our forecast wasn't pretty before these cuts. So, I mean, and there are other districts that are further along the unsustainable path. And we talk about staying in the market, but you just look at, you know, the president of Worthington testified at Senate Bill 5, and he said, listen, we need to do something because we're on the ballot every 2 years. And it's, I mean, and it's, you get the same message coming out of Hilliard and all these districts we compare ourselves to. They're in bad shape.
Well, you're on the ballot every 2 years for a combination of issues, not just the fact that your salaries go
right.
up.
Benefits as well, yeah.
Well, but House Bill 920 also locks in your millage rate to whatever your values were at the time it was passed.
Right.
There is absolutely no growth potential on the revenue side. None.
Well, okay.
Except on the inside millage, and that's it.
It's only 4.7 mils. It's not
so,
very much.
You know, if I go back historically, I mean, we probably have almost equal, maybe a little smidge above where we were in 1968 prior to House Bill 920.
Well, I mean, your revenues do go up as new bills come in, right, as well. I mean, it's not...
Yeah, but it's not that much.
I'm not trying to do that.
It doesn't sustain it. Because, again, the state takes away the first 22 mils, even on you know, your new bills, because the first 22 mils are your charge-off. So...
Again, I'm not advocating for anything outside of the fact that what we have today is unsustainable. And, you know, and I'm not the only one saying it, so I mean...
And I'm not the only one saying that. If you're going to have folks in this profession that want to continue in this profession, somehow or another, you have to allow them to
agreed.
Have some type of...
Agreed, 100%.
Of income, because when they enter in, I mean, 30, if all they're ever going to max out to be is what they enter in at,
and
why
I,
enter in?
And I've never said that, and I certainly don't believe that.
So you're thinking more like maybe stretch the growth cycle out? You know what I mean?
Honestly, Jeff, I have no idea how it looks. I really don't. I just know that the way it is
set
now.
I don't know.
Yeah. And I would like to have the discussion with people who do know. I mean, we talked about maybe sitting down with the MEA on a finance committee
sure.
at some point. That would be a great thing for us to sit down and talk about, I think.
Couldn't agree more. All right, well, we're rolling in on 7 o'clock. Exactly. It is 7 o'clock. I don't know how we did that. Holy cow. All right. We're surrounded
now. We can continue it afterwards if you need to.
We continue it afterwards. Yeah, maybe we should pick this up afterwards and maybe even talk about having another particular meeting to talk about this specifically, because I think at some point we're going to have, you know, we're going to know the number of people who are going to be retiring. You're going to have a better idea of who you're going to replace, who you can't replace. And then I'd also like to talk a little bit about, at that point, you know, what we're thinking we're going to have to do, because we're going to have to do something. We're going to have to reduce some on our side, whether that's whatever that is. But I'd like to hear your ideas for what those are going to, be, and then we can kind of, you know, throw that around. And it would be nice to not have to stop and have a regular board meeting to do that.
Yes, it would.
And probably it'd be nice to have dinner while we did.
That would be lovely.
I know. So, but we can pick this up after. If you guys want to talk a little bit more about it during the meeting, that would be fine.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, we're gonna take a quick 5 minute break for those members that need to
have a
5 minute break. So I'm gonna pause there. All right, we are gonna continue back after our brief 5 minute recess. All right, next up on the agenda is the adoption of the agenda, gentlemen. Mr. Lassiter.
What's that?
Adoption of the agenda?
What do I need to?
You probably need to vote.
Oh, yeah.
If there's any changes, additions, deletions to the agenda? Was there? No additions?
Is there a high point report?
No high point report? All right. Okay, so 6-2 is off. Okay, if not, I need a motion to accept the agenda, please.
Second.
Moved and second. John, move. Yes, you can. Roll call, please.
Mr.
Mr. Freinberg.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Fraker.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up is Employee of the Month.
Where's John? I saw John.
We brought all these people in because you're the Employee of the Month this month.
This is John Fackelman. He is one of our studies at the high school, and John is just tremendous. Just does everything you could ask and more. And he's always there in the snowstorm and things, ice storm. There's a lot of sidewalk at the high school. It needed to all get cracked up and broken up, and the weather didn't cooperate. And in order to have school, these guys did a tremendous job of just getting us ready for all that. So you just go above and beyond, and we appreciate all that you do for us. So thank you.
Okay, I move that we accept John Fackelman as the February 2011 Employee of the Month.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Freinberg.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, visitors.
Matt, you want Mr. Crispin over there in these FFA jerseys?
Just in case I get lost and find me on the street.
You know who you are.
Again? John Lee.
That is a lot of blue.
I took it.
It is a lot of blue. And actually, they don't make corduroy jackets that big. So. It's okay. Come on. Just one word about John Fackelman. He's far enough away. He's really been incredible since coming to first shift at the high school. Yeah, I'm talking about you. And the best thing I could say about John is that the term custodian really doesn't fit what he does. He's a caretaker. He truly cares about our building and what it looks like, and it's clean for the teachers, clean for our visitors, and clean for our students. So, Someday, maybe we'll change your job description to he's a caretaker, not a custodian. But congratulations, well deserved.
Thank you.
Now you go eat dinner.
Be a monarch.
4 years ago, when we went, when we were redesigning the school seal, we were thinking about different things to put on the shield that appears on our school seal. We were thinking about some of the foundations of Marysville High School. And first, we thought of scholarship and academics, obviously. Our fine arts program, stellar. Our athletic programs. But then in the lower right-hand quadrant of that shield, you see a cog and a piece of grain. I guess it's a piece of grain. Yeah, I'm a city guy. our agricultural and industrial technology program was outstanding at Marysville High School. The Marysville chapter of the FFA is one of the more popular programs at the high school, has been for a long, long time. It is one of the premier chapters in the state and in the country. Our curriculum at the last state meeting is really the one that the state folks are pointing to and saying, you need to do it like Marysville. They're aligned, they're ready to go. They're ahead of everyone else. So we have a lot of pride in our folks that wear the blue jacket. I'm very proud of the organization. My oldest son, who's now a senior at the University of Toledo, is an FFA alum. So and it did awesome things for him. So I can go on and on about these folks and the time I spend down there, especially when there's a lot of food. But I brought some visitors tonight that will share with you some of the many great things and experiences and activities that our kids partake in through the FFA. So before turning it over to these ladies, I do want to introduce the three teachers that work down there, Mr. Bill Keck, Mrs. Ashley Thompson, and Mrs. Sherry Anderson. Glad they're here this evening. Without further ado, turn it over to Elizabeth Hayes and Carol Keck.
Thank you. First off, we'd like to thank you for letting us come and do this presentation. I'm Carol Keck, and I'm Elizabeth Hayes, current president.
Kim Pictures, the retiring president. We are here on behalf of the Marysville FFA and the Marysville Ag Science Department. The FFA is an intracurricular program, which means that students cannot join FFA unless they are enrolled in an ag science class. Throughout the FFA, students have a wide variety of after-school activities to choose from.
We have several ag classes that students can take. The first one is Intro to Ag, which is kind of the little bit of everything class. You got some shop, you have some plant sciences, and you have some animal sciences in it, and it just gets their feet in the water and gets them to see what they want to do.
Throughout all of our classes are based on the state standard curriculum for ag science, and our teachers really focus on hands-on activities because that is the best way to learn. We're going to run through our classes and tell you about some of our big projects in our classes. First off, with animal management and nutrition, our students build and actually design an aquaculture facility where they raise many fish. In animal reproduction and genetics, this year the students learned about incubation of eggs, and last year we bred rabbits.
The landscape and golf course management class, their big project is helping in the greenhouse, but this year they did a hydroponics project, and next year they're planning to make it, combine it with aquaculture and make it aquaponics. So.
In ag business, students learn about the different types of businesses, like cooperations and cooperatives and corporations. And we also learn about financing. Our big project right now in ag business one is building up our own business, whether it be actually a realistic business that the students actually go out and pursue with, or make up business, whatever. And in ag business two, they handle all of the business side of the FFA, like our greenhouse and our fruit sale.
How many businesses do you have? I'm sorry.
Well, we have lots of students, and a lot of them have their own businesses. So it's part of SAE projects. We'll mention it later on. It's an opportunity. You're fine. It's an opportunity that our students have. It's a great opportunity that our students have. So.
A ton. Well,
I can't even list all of them.
Gotcha.
Vet Science is a class where kids get hands-on experience with animals. We get to do some really cool dissections with fetal pigs and also fetal lambs. But we also have some hands-on experience with live animals in the classroom and how a veterinarian would use them. Engines class, they start with small engines that they take apart and rebuild, and they eventually move up to big hydraulic engines for tractors where their careers are.
In hydraulics, students learn about the hydraulic systems, and they actually build their own hydraulic system. As you can see here, they build this system as a robot to pick up a ball. You can see the tennis ball right there that they're demonstrating. In metal fabrications, we learn to weld using an arc welder, a MIG welder, and a TIG welder. And here I am demonstrating using the oxyacetylene torch, and I'm cutting steel. In ag engineering, this is a class where you use all types of classes all in one. Students will use their skills that they learned in ag, an intro to ag, in woodworking and metal fab to create big projects and use them all. And they are currently working on a shed.
In our high school, we have approximately 1,553 students, and our program services 320 of them, which is over 20% of the high school body is walking through our doors and taking ag classes.
With ag classes, since this is an intracurricular program, when students enter ag classes, they have the wonderful opportunity of joining the FFA. Since 2005, we have grown by 87 members, and as of right now, our current membership is 168 members in the FFA. CDEs are a really big part of our program. They're career development events, and pretty much what they are opportunities for the kids to use the skills they learn in the classroom and compete with them and also build skills for future careers. Our first CDE is Parliamentary Procedure. Students have the opportunity of learning how to run a proper business meeting using Robert's Rules of Order, which can be very useful. And
yeah, you think maybe you maybe get someone to sit in here and help you out a little bit?
I don't know. But, so it's a very useful skill that can be used throughout life and help students out. Equine management is another CDE that we participate in. This CDE helps students learn how to manage an equine barn. And they can learn from selection of horses for confirmation and riding, like Western Pleasure. And there's also a TAC ID and a test on nutrition, anatomy, and genetics. Ag Sales is a contest where each student gets to pick their own agricultural product and pretty much market it and sell it. They also have customer relations practicums and a test that they take. Our team plays second in the state this year. So forgot to mention, equine management placed third in the state last year, and our state contest is on April 2nd. The next CDE that we participate in is general livestock judging, where students evaluate hogs, cattle, sheep, and goats, and they are asked to evaluate these animals on different levels based on breeding or a keep call class, which means they would decide what animals to keep for market or go ahead and get rid of. A tractor troubleshooting is a CDE where students get to diagnose problems in tractors, and it's a timed event. They have to find a problem and then fix the problem. They also have a written test, and they placed second in the state last year, too, and third in districts this year. Public speaking is an event that another CDE. This here is David Keck participating in the Creed Speaking. Creed Speaking is taught in the Intro to Ag class, and this is pretty much your intro public speaking event. After the students do Creed Speaking as a freshman, they can go on to do extemporaneous speaking, which is they research different topics, and then they draw that topic out of a hat and have 30 minutes to prepare a speech. There's also prepared public speaking, where the students come with their speech and are asked questions about it. Ag Engineering is a contest where students take a test, and if they qualify, they'll go into the state round where they do ag hands-on skills tests. Animal behavior focuses on the behavior of animals and their welfare, and to make animals' lives better. This CDE consists of a PowerPoint that the students make based on the animal that is chosen for that year, and they also evaluate facilities such as dog kennels. Animal management is another CDE based on the smaller pet shop type animals, where they learn the different breeds and also learn how to restrain them for vet purposes. Some of the teams not pictured, but we do participate in every year. Wildlife management, they identify different types of wildlife and tracks. Animal health, that's using vet science skills in a contest setting. And food science, where they analyze food and food safety. With the CDE event, students can really get a good focus on what they want to do with their lives after high school. With these events, they can get hands-on experience from their classes to then decide what career they would like to go in. As you can see, we have many wide ranges of careers that have come out of our FFA chapter. SAE, Supervised Agricultural Experiences, are also a really important part of the FFA. Students have the opportunity to go out and get a job or create their own business and get some hands-on experience. And there's three types: entrepreneurship, placement, and research. Most of our projects are in entrepreneurship and placement. Our first placement that we would like to recognize is Gabrielle Medley. She works at a TAC dealer auction, where she helps set up and also delivers TAC to the buyers. This TAC auction happens once a month, and she usually makes around $160 a day plus tips. I work at Catawba Lane Farm, and I manage a hog barn with about 1,000 hogs in it, and I earned my state FFA degree from this, and will have my American degree in another year from it as well. Trisha Russell is a senior who works for Jack's Aquarium and Pets here in Marysville. She's making about $150 a week, and she's learned animal management skills as well as business skills, and she aspires to be an ag teacher. Miranda Deerdorf lives in town, and she really takes advantage of living in town because she actually has her own market rabbit breeding program. She sells her rabbits to 4-H and FFA members to show at the fair. Myself, I train horses and give riding lessons. I earned my state degree with this. I'm actually getting it this year. And I received second in the state for my proficiency in equine entrepreneurship. I currently have made over $6,500 with my proficiency. I'm in the ag business class, and like I said about our businesses, we're making business plans right now. And I could actually take my business plan when it's completed to a bank and get a loan out for my business if I wish to.
AET is Agricultural Experience Tracker, and it's pretty much the online record system where we keep track of everyone's SAE projects and all the activities they participate in, and it teaches the students some really good record-keeping skills and keeps everything organized.
In 2010, our students invested over $49,000 into the community. The average economic impact per student is over $700. The students as a whole made over $77,000 profit on their projects last year. Since we are a leadership organization, we participate and hold many leadership activities.
This program also gives students a lot of opportunities to get scholarships. Nationally, about $2 million are given out for FFA students going into agricultural careers. Plus, the Marysville FFA alumni gives out several significant scholarships, as well as other family supporters that give scholarships, more scholarships out.
We also put on and host educational activities for the betterment of our community and for our students. Here is our current 2011-2012 officer team. Do you guys have any questions?
Yeah, we just gave you a whole bunch of information. We're really short amount of time, so feel free.
I have all.
Okay, well.
Well, either one.
How do you recruit people into the program?
Well, we have recruitment days where we go to the middle school and we do really fun activities with them. And we try to get them interested in the program, but really, it's, you know, by word of mouth, you know, this is a good program, and people hear about it, and they want to join. We also have Food for America, where we go to Creekview. Mm-hmm. We're at Creekview, right? I was like, elementary Creekview? We used to go to elementary schools, but now we're at Creekview, and so they get a younger experience with it, but we kind of try to start that seed real young.
Once the students are in high school, we have actually a lot of members that join as sophomores or even juniors. They hear it from word of mouth because we have so much fun,
yeah,
and they want to join in. But mostly it's from the 8th grade recruitment teams that we actually go to the middle school and teach the 8th graders
okay.
for a day.
Right, do you have a question?
Yeah, in the beginning you showed where you're raising like chicks and things.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys do with those after you...
Well, they took him to the butcher and
eat
him.
They
become
very fast. So
yeah.
By the time we got rid of them, we processed them.
Yeah,
you know that chicken fry they have right there?
Yeah.
So more specifically, what kind of fish do they
eat? Perch, bluegill, and catfish this year.
Okay,
we just had
fish.
Perch and bluegill.
Perch and bluegill,
yeah.
Okay, so you wouldn't be able to stock my pond.
Actually, the fish that we ended up with this year, I partnered with Ohio State University at the Piketon branch, and they accidentally gave us the
carp.
The high, you know, the high strand of genetically superior perch.
Oh, wow.
So that they had spent several millions of dollars developing, and we ended up having. So we kept them for 4 months, and so they let us keep them, and it was successful. So it was really
wow.
neat to be able to see that too. So we partnered with Ohio State and also a local producer here. So it has really helped us out to be able to get equipment and advice.
As far as the chickens, we actually marketed them through a local meat
a meat shop, Barry's Pritchmore, sold those chickens for us after we took them to get them processed.
So, can you tell me how many kids actually, you know, I always wondered that about FFA. You always assume that it's always, you know, kids that live out in the country or whatnot. But, you know, split-wise, you know, about how many kids are non,
I would say,
I don't know how to,
half and half.
Really?
Honestly.
What? About 80% of the kids are non-farm.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I knew it was
honestly, it's a very high percentage.
Yeah.
But they get really good,
like
Miranda Deerdorf, she raises and breeds rabbits. A lot of other members that live in town will raise gardens. And they really take advantage of what they have since they do live in town. And they can also, our members...
You know, placement projects,
yeah.
Like Happy Ohio hires some of our students and a lot of greenhouses. Now that greenhouse season's coming up, we'll have people hired out to those greenhouses mm-hmm. working there as placement projects. So they really have, you know, some opportunities. Maybe not. They may not have, you know, a big cow ranch in their backyard,
sure.
but
they can work at one.
Yeah,
right.
They definitely have the opportunity.
Like you, right?
I'm an SAE survivor as a parent,
yep. Yeah.
Grant, my oldest, I told you about. He worked at Dairy Farm, Grubbaum's Dairy Farm, for 3.5 years. Great experience. Cost us a washer and dryer, but that's some kind of smell, but. Amazing, priceless experience. So.
I got to tell you, that sounds like an amazing program. And you know, you look at what you guys do. I mean,
yeah.
it's you know, you're not just sitting around kind of having conversations. I mean, you guys are out there moving and doing stuff and really moving ahead. It looks like at a pretty quick pace. So
yeah, we really don't have an off month.
No,
even in the summer we have projects going on at all times, which is keeps us busy and it's really good experience.
Great. Nobody else had any more questions?
No, we've had a lot of presentations before, and my teachers and staff, and you guys probably outranked all of them.
Yeah, no doubt.
We're glad.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
One of the great things about Mary's Hole, and again, we offer programs across the board. You know, a lot of school districts have cut this program. Seriously. And, you know, we're speaking of cuts tonight, but this is one that you don't find every place. And it's been amazing since we've been here, since I've been here. And we've just had great, as we've had some outstanding folks, graduates in this program. And you guys always speak so well. I mean, your banquets are always incredible.
It was incredible. And I said, of all the students that were up there speaking continually, there are a lot of adults you listen to at work who can't speak as well.
Correct.
As these kids.
And it's the program. And it's
absolutely
a salute
amazing.
To the program and everything that
absolutely.
They always do and the caliber of kids that are in it. And it's its own little fraternity, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a family,
yeah.
Without question at all about that. But it's the beauty of the school district. So, thank you.
Thank you very much for allowing us, inviting us to
present. Absolutely. Thank you.
You're not going to be here to check me on my Robert's rules, right?
No, they need to. They could give us our own little work session.
Yeah, they probably could.
Oh, they could.
I'm not questioning that at all.
Oh, I thought you were.
No. No, ma'am. All right, next up is our legislative report. Yeah. There's really nothing going on down there, is there?
Not much.
Just kind of hanging out.
Well, this week, at least through Wednesday, they're having the House Finance and Appropriations is having the biennial budget, which is not a bill yet. We discussed that. Okay. But what they're having is presentations coming in to speak to the committee. Tomorrow is going to be the Office of the 21st Century Education, ODE, and the Regents are coming in speaking to them tomorrow. And then on Wednesday is the fifth hearing for that. There has been a new bill introduced.
Oh, great. Nice.
No, this is good. body mass screenings, which would
no, that be good.
It's good because now they're saying you don't even have to fill out an opt-out form. You may do it if you want. You don't have to. So that's good.
I hope not.
No more pizza.
And that was just introduced on March 15th.
Is that a House bill?
That's a Senate bill. Senate Bill 118. And then tomorrow morning is that committee hearing on the calamity.
House Bill 36.
Calamity Dave?
Yes.
House Bill 36.
9:30 tomorrow morning.
We better get that done before the end of school.
Well, yeah, I know. Don't call
likely
back
vote
in about
tomorrow.
Oh, likely vote tomorrow.
Likely vote, committee vote tomorrow.
Oh, okay, so it's going to go to the governor then here.
No, it has to go before the full Senate.
Yeah. Oh, I'm, so, no, I'm sorry.
They'll change things. It'll go back to Congress.
They're talking, yes, they're talking. Amendments are likely.
Okay.
And the one that I had contacted about was being able to bank hours. And they said that was a likely possibility to be changed.
Now, this is only for a one-year deal. They're going to go back and look at that?
They said they are. But if they don't, then it would stand as it is.
Okay.
That's all I have to
report. That's all you got? Nothing else going on at the state?
It was really quiet. I actually went over there today.
Really?
Quiet.
No crowds down there?
You could hear a pin drop in the rotunda.
All right. Fair enough. Thank you for that. All right, next up, public participation, everybody's favorite part of the meeting. Karen Rogers would like to speak about the music program. Ms. Rogers?
Good evening. I am a parent in the community who wears many different hats, and I've been involved in a lot of different parts of the school program. I've been a substitute teacher, PTO president, boosters president, and I just wanted to first of all thank you all for your dedication to the students in our community, and I want to acknowledge the difficult task that you have ahead in making all the cuts that are going to be necessary to balance the budget. And my husband Alan was on the last levy committee, and from listening to him talk about the discussions that you all had in those meetings, I got a real good feel for the in-depth analysis and consideration that you all give to various options, and I just am appreciative of that. I just wanted to share my own personal story. When we first moved to this area 12 years ago, my husband was working in Plain City, and so Marysville made a lot of sense. And then in 2005, he got a new job down in Circleville, and we talked about whether we wanted to move to Circleville or Pickerington or any of those other cities kind of down there, and we just decided that we couldn't leave Marysville, and it was because of the wonderful fine arts programs that my kids are involved in the schools, and I just wanted to step up and say that I hope that you will try really hard to not make cuts in some of the music, band, theater-type programs that we have in the community because they're just wonderful, and I think they're unique to Central Ohio in the level of excellence that we have here.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, next up, Mrs. Golden. I'm not going to tear up your first name. So.
I apologize for my prepared comments, but I don't have the gift that these girls seem to have. So. And I certainly have enough respect for you and your position and our kids, so I apologize.
No, it's perfectly fine.
I'd absolutely like to thank you so very much for your time and the service to our schools and community. I'm Rashan Golden, you don't have to remember it. And 11 years ago, my family relocated from Baltimore, Washington. My husband, originally from New York, and I'm an OSU alum, were self-employed since starting our business 17 years ago. Many years spent in a metropolitan area, we set out to establish roots in a friendly, safe, and slow-paced environment, but not willing to sacrifice a well-rounded education in which to raise our two children. Researching and comparing area communities such as Powell, Dublin, and New Albany, we believe Marysville are best fit. After residing in Marysville several years, solid foundation being laid was evident as our two girls thrived with positive instruction from resourceful and caring teachers. To name a few, Marilyn Quist, Cheryl Barflow, Abby Helmuth, Darlene McChesney, and Terry Lightwine, whose motto in our class was, "We take care of each other." And these thoughts illuminated much of what we thought in our family was possible. We believe that teaching is a two-sided equation, requiring enthusiastic and dedicated teachers, but also parental responsibility and involvement. We've supported district goals, both personally and professionally, and tried very hard to stay in partnership, even when times and finances created obstacles and challenges. And this history, unfortunately, reminds us our kids are worth it. At least we feel that way. Recently, my husband participated in a Bunsell focus group, and last week the governor obviously has announced his proposed budget. Therefore, it appears time for even more difficult conversation and arduous discussions and decisions. So it's with this understanding that I implore you, as respectfully as it is all of you who set the policy and program quality. Our girls now, after these years, are sophomores and seventh graders, and thus far have had the advantage of many favorable academic opportunities. But in our belief, it's just as important their participation experience in the very activities that are absolutely molding and shaping them for their future. And never more obvious has that been than over the last few years. I don't know if you know, but there are over 400 students that participate in the CORAL program, offered at just Bunsold and Marysville High School alone. Did you know that recently our symphonic choir performed at state OMEAs and was one of only four groups out of 30 to earn straight superior ratings? Did you know that in recent months a variety of area organizations invited our a cappella choir to perform, or that over the summer our show choir won a United We Rock contest, thus sharing the stage with the legendary 80s rock band Foreigner for a once-in-a-lifetime experience? Or, if you didn't know these, maybe you were in attendance in November when the MHS was packed with three performances of Beauty and the Beast, audiences full of impressionable girls and boys, many who do not even know a cast member, but were just thrilled to have the experience. And if Beauty and the Beast wasn't quite your cup of tea, recently we finally remember Schoolhouse Rock, performed by our Bunsold students. True bliss, in my opinion, and nostalgia brought even all the adult audience to their feet and laughter to the air. The hundreds of hours spent in excellent instructional learning and preparation are too many to calculate. But I've personally witnessed our first-rate staff emboldening our students to propel their passion and knowledge outside of just my family dinner table or our family time spent revisiting program videos. The Marysville Choral Program positively impacts not only my daily family life, but from a first-hand perspective, I know it affects our community and beyond where the grass is greener. I can attest to the high esteem and regard held for our Marysville kids as faraway friends consistently share that they're so thrilled to host our students as they are known to be the friendliest and most respectful. I watch people in our neighboring communities and states shed tears and quiver from goosebumps and applaud our soloists and performers when their hearts are so moved by these gifts and grace. It's just emotional, so I apologize. As any number of our students, ask how they're stirred and inspired when listening to Becky Smith or Josiah Newland, or how they're impacted when watching Pearson McKenzie or Bunsold member Sam Hefner. Ask this dedicated ensemble about their camaraderie, their ethics, and their attitude in the choral family, and how thankful they are to have such a group to embrace. If you haven't had the privilege, and if you're unaware of this program, I strongly encourage and I invite you to attend tomorrow's choral program at 7 p.m. in the auditorium. I should warn you, however, that Mr. Robertson back there may kindly ask you to participate in what has become to know the Marysville Squeeze, as every effort is made to provide a seat for everyone in attendance. So when an auditorium seat may not be available, you will find seats way in the back that fold up, or there's standing room along the wall. In closing, this past weekend was a time that will remain forever with me, a day very long coming and extremely poignant, especially in cheering on the 28 seniors as they shed tears and realizing their path was forever changed and forever touched. I know these young adults, many of whom extend their music vocation beyond MHS, bring such gift, joy, and hope, as there is no doubt of their passion, talent, and gratitude for having such a path to travel. To ever consider explaining any other type of tier would be regrettable. So it is with great respect and empathy for your position and the grueling choices that you have ahead of you that I advocate for not just the two most important people in my life, but for all these kids in this program who have taught me and touched me so deeply, and for all the future students that should be in the Maryville program. And I'm not going to forget the excellent direction and leadership that our kids study under, because with that leadership and with our kids, I think this program is truly a treasure. Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
And last but certainly not least, Lori Hobbs.
Well, that's a tough act. I'll stand on this end of the room, maybe balance it out a little bit. I stand before you tonight as not just an employee, but a parent. We have two daughters, an 8th grader and a 10th grader, who too, like all the others, have participated in the arts program, be it drama, music, or band. So I, like them, recognize that you have some tough decisions ahead of you. I hope that these fine arts programs can remain a piece of the pie. I don't know how big a piece we'll get, but the impact that these programs have had on our kids and how it's affected not only their music or choral abilities, but their confidence have grown. Their leadership within these organizations have grown. And our 8th grader cannot wait to get to high school to take this interior design class that I keep hearing about, which is outside of music and drama, but again, an elective which may become her career. So we just applaud you for being willing to take this position. I noticed in your vision statement, it says you want to partner with family, so I decided I needed to come and let you know what this family is thinking. And I guess that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I can certainly tell you from having two kids that have gone through our music programs that, you know, really what those programs meant to them and also to our family. So I share your passion and your care for those particular programs. Was there anybody else that wanted to address the board tonight? All right, and we are going to move right along then. Okay, next up is the February 28th regular meeting minutes that I know you've, again, all read. And any modifications, changes, deletions from those? If not, I need a motion to accept those, please.
So move.
Second. Move and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Freinder.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. The Treasurer's Report. As if we hadn't heard from you enough this evening, we get a bonus tonight.
I think I've said enough. February was very just routine in not a whole lot happened. We did not receive our tax advance. Like
not a whole lot happened.
Yeah, well, is that good or bad?
Not a whole lot happened other than a budget and all that good stuff. You know, that was just the little basic, stuff. The little stuff. We did, in the SM2 that I sent out to you, you'll look and see that there's a little break difference there. We didn't get a tax advance for real estate, but we did get our final report here in first week of March, so that'll show the difference there. So, and I'm looking at what we're spending. Our spending's still coming in less for the year, and so that may help us out at the end. I'm hoping that does help us out. We'll know more once we look at this month, and then once I look at the buyout, some of the staff are considering taking it as of May 31st. If that's the case, then they will be paid out as of the end of May. And so we'll have to look at that and see what that does to our cash report. But
there are no benefits.
No benefits paid
for 2 months.
For the extra 2 months. And so
that's actually three, June, July, and August.
June, July, and August. Mm-hmm. So that we'll see what happens with that, and I'll know more after we get all those numbers figured out. So that's it, unless somebody's got questions.
Does anybody have any questions?
I don't have a question about the financials, but I do have a financial question.
Yes.
When do you think we'll be able to get all of the information on the extracurricular activities that you have asked to for the different, like, transportation stuff to compile, so we can see the actual, you know, how much the busing is costing for particular sports and the paid participate fees, and so it can be broken down instead of, well, you know, it's costing a total of whatever, it can be broken down by segment.
We've got some of it.
We have most all the participation in a model. What we're now doing is putting the transportation in that same model to give us an idea of what, for instance, one activity cost us.
And then together with all the and coaches then, or advisors
correct,
or whatever.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. So we should have that June?
No.
We'll have it sooner than that.
Yeah.
We'll get it real quick.
Actually, I don't know where we are on transportation. I can't speak to that because I haven't talked to them in about a week on where they were in putting that. We have all the numbers together as far as number of participants for both fall and winter. Mm-hmm. It's all together by activity and the number of supervisors in each of those activities. So all we have to do now is put in the transportation into that model, and then we'll have an idea of where we are. So we're close.
Okay.
It's going to be part of the whole, you know, recommendation from us.
But we had never had this information quite like this before.
Correct.
As opposed to just one big lump.
Correct.
We're looking at it.
Okay. Any other questions? If not, I move we accept the items A and B, submitted by the treasurer.
Second.
Okay. Moving second. Roll call.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Board policy.
Item 9, board policy manual addition. It's policy ING for animals to school as part of the new regulation. We have to add an addition to that that would adopt and modify our policies for practices for any service animal to be used by person of disability.
We don't have any now, do we?
We don't.
So moved?
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Fraser.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
It actually expands the definition of a service animal to include beyond a dog. We've had those before. Item 10, renewal of administrator contracts. In March, by law, Ohio law, you have administrator contracts that expire at the end of this contract year. It is my recommendation that those following administrators be renewed for a 3-year period.
I have one question that Jeff wasn't able to answer. For the psychologist, what determines how many psychologists a district has to employ?
Well, it's the number of IEPs that...
So it's the number of students?
Number of students on IEPs. And the number of IEPs that a person can actually... right and get out, you know, with almost 1,000 students, not quite, but I'll give or take, on IEP or tested. They may be tested, assessed, and not placed on IEP, and that would include the kids that are end up on 504 plans, those kinds of things. We have the number of psychologists necessary to do that. Matter of fact, we're probably up against the line of requiring some additional service, actually, just because of the sheer volume and numbers. And if they don't get an IEP accomplished on a deadline, then we lose funding for those kids. So it's imperative. Yeah, it really is. I mean, I don't know what much more you can do, really. I mean, we operated for years with one, and then we added another, and now we have a lot more than that just because we have a lot more special ed kids.
Now we have five.
Are they all administrative contracts?
We have administrative. They are on administrative contracts. In a lot of districts, they're not on administrative contracts. They are here just because of the hours spent and those kinds of things.
It'll be cheaper to pay them than
It's, you know, it's actually six of one and a half dozen of another because you have to do extended time, you know, for a number of days.
Any other questions?
You'll find probably in most districts, though, that they are not on an administrative schedule. They're on teacher schedule.
Any motion to accept those then, please?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Mady.
Yes. Motion carries.
Item 11, employment of district staff. You have three there that are being recommended. One is a replacement to a special ed aide at Creekview. And one is a seasonal staff for the summer.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mady.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yeah.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 12, listed below are substitutes and home instructors recommended for employment for the 10-11 school year on an as-needed basis. And there are four classifications there.
Any motion to accept those, please?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
That's close enough, yes.
I couldn't decide which way I was going. Maybe.
That's all right. I've heard you've been called. But.
Oh, yeah, I've been called a lot worse. I married that one.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Yes, motion carries.
I get for trying to do yeah,
it. Item 13, district volunteers. Is our recommendation to recognize the following volunteers for the 10-11 school year. And again, we recognize the volunteers so that we can cover them under our liability insurance.
So moved.
Second. Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mady.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr.
Freudenberg. Yes.
Lester.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 14 is to amend an overnight student trip to Florida for our high school marching band. That date slipped, I think, a week. So we're recommending that you amend that motion that you passed last month.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lester.
Yes.
Mr. Mady.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes. Okay, motion carries.
Item 15 are fundraisers. I request that the approval be made for the, I think there are six fundraisers.
You don't have little seizures anymore.
So moved.
Second.
Moved
in second. Roll call, please. John. That guy down there.
Actually, William.
You moved and John second, right?
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Mady.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 16, donations to the district. I also recommend that the following donations be accepted. One to the curriculum department, to Maven, and also to Bunsold.
So moved.
Second. Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr.
Mady.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries with appreciation.
And item 17 is the 11-12 school year calendar. It's my recommendation that the approval be made for the 11-12 school year calendar. Again, that we present that calendar out to staff. Majority of staff members recommend that this calendar be approved. School would begin on August 24th, 2011, and end Wednesday, May 30th, 2012.
Nice. Can we extend that a little bit?
longer just we in may. Case we have to.
We may have to.
So moved.
Like that.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Reinberg.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carried.
No, yeah, well, we can go back up and discuss, kind of finish where we were, and then we'll go to executive session. Is that what you want to do?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, we can reopen that discussion if you want. We can schedule another meeting if you want. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure how much more we're going to get out of that tonight, but
yeah, because we don't know anymore. Then.
That's what I mean. I mean, really kind of have to know what our retirement's going to be. And
without the retirement and the number.
Yeah,
being a little closer. I mean, it gives us an idea.
Right. Well, once we have that number of retirees, that'll give us a pretty solid idea of what we, at least a little better idea of what you have to replace.
Yeah, we're working pretty hard. Again, the purpose.
Right.
The purpose of the retirement incentive was to really open up some staff positions. I mean, we kind of knew what was coming down the tunnel here. Mm-hmm. So I think it's done what we want it to do. So I'm pretty happy with that. What we have to do now is kind of figure out how we can fold this stuff together, because the last thing I want to do is eliminate program.
Sure.
I think we want to march forward without program being disturbed too much.
Okay.
I think you have to continue to provide opportunities for kids. That has to be our number one goal.
Absolutely.
And trying to figure out where that is or isn't. We've messed around with a little different day at the high school, which I can talk a little bit about. We're on a 9-period day at the high school because I think 9-period day gives kids lots of options. We are messing, though, with an 8-period day. I will tell you that. The issue with the 8-period day is, as we look, if kids have already turned in their schedules, so we know what kids have requested. We do our schedule kind of backwards. And I think it probably is more kid-friendly because we do. We don't set the schedule and then have kids schedule to the schedule. We ask for requests and then build a schedule around their requests. So I like it better because it tells us truly what kids want. But when you look at our 9-period day, our kids, if we move to an 8-period day, we have almost 700 kids that have requested 8 periods of instruction. If we move to an 8-period day, that means only 7 periods of instruction could be scheduled. That means almost 700 kids would not get something they've asked for. Now, that really speaks volumes. Almost half your high school population has scheduled 8 periods of instruction. Because 1 period of a 9-period day is lunch.
Right.
So you have 700 kids that haven't even scheduled a study hall. So as soon as you schedule, back that off just a little bit, you really have kids choosing between electives because the core subjects have to be taken. It's your electives that end up getting beat up, and you're also going to have some kids choosing between band and FFA or band and choir and business and all your kind of elective areas. So
we're
messing with that. We really have spent a lot of time.
That kind of approach, does that protect the program?
Well, I don't know. At this point yet, I don't know what those 700 kids have asked for.
Okay.
I would say if I have to go back to those kids and ask them to undo their schedule, lop one off, it won't be a core subject.
Why do we spend so much time talking about cutting programs? I mean, it really doesn't. I mean, if you look at our budgets issue, to sit there and cut programs isn't going to add sustainability to our situation. And it's, I mean, I just, I don't even see where it has a major impact on our finances.
Well, it has a huge major impact.
I mean, but the problem is we spend so much time talking about cutting programs. Then we talk about levies, and we rarely ever talk about compensation.
Well, I couldn't disagree with you.
Well, I don't remember sitting here and getting in-depth conversations over compensation.
Doug, what have we done the last 5 years? Our staff has taken some of the least amount of salary increases of anybody else in Central Ohio. I think we've done a great job of managing that moving forward.
I'm just saying we need to talk about it more. That's all I'm saying. We don't talk about it enough. We don't talk about creative ideas to fix the sustainability issue. It's coming from the fact that our compensation goes up regardless of revenue. That's an issue. It doesn't matter how many cuts we make. It doesn't matter how many levies we pass. Until we fix that situation, we're going to have sustainability
issues. Or you have to fix revenue. You have to fix the fact that we lost 30% of our tax base, see, and it's not being replaced.
I understand. Outside, you could have very little control over that, but I think we should lobby. I think we should inform. But I just get on the mindset of saying, let's focus on our circle of influence and not the things that are outside our control. We can't control what state funding cuts there are. We can lobby, we can do those things, and I think that's worth doing, and I think it's worth letting people know, but we have no control at this board table over what happens down there. But we do have control over programs, and we do have control over putting levies on the ballot, but we don't have control over whether or not they'll pass them, and we have control over compensation with our partnership with the MEA.
And I think we've controlled compensation very well.
I'm just saying, to me it seems like we spend a whole lot of time talking about the things that do have the least amount of impact, and we have the least control over.
I couldn't disagree with you more.
Well, I'm just saying, let's talk about compensation more.
Let's
get that salary committee going or something.
We'll
let's
have a
talk
work,
about it.
Well, we're going to have a work session, and we have an easel. Come with your ideas, and nothing's off the table. If you want to talk about it, talk about it. In a general,
I understand. And I think it's a great idea. The more we talked about it with the finance committee, I think it would be a great idea to get at the table with the MEA or some members from the MEA and do a real, true brainstorming session. Not the kind of, we can't do that or, just get some ideas on the table. And maybe at the end of the day, I look like an idiot because there's no good solution and what we got is the best thing out there. And that's fine. But at least the community sees that we're looking there, and we're exploring for solutions to this unsustainable problem.
That's probably don't want to do it tonight. We're getting a little late in the day.
And we definitely want to eat it that way.
So let's look at our calendars for that work session. Then. It's going to be in April. When is the final number for that?
Friday.
Right, but
they have
7 days, right?
When they come back from spring break.
So that's April 1st?
April 4th.
April 4th. And our next board meeting's on the 25th. How about the 11th? That's a Monday. Monday seems to work out best for most of us.
Okay.
April 11th? Yes, free on the 11th?
I'll just be coming back from North Carolina, so maybe.
That Monday?
No, that weekend, but usually my weekends roll over into the next travel date.
I got you.
I have to look.
Okay, can we tentatively schedule one for the 11th? Let's say.
I'm good on the
11th. If we're going to have pizza, how about 5:30?
No, I have the speed to get here.
How about 6? Let's go with the 11th at 6. Then. 6. I'm even going to put this in my calendar.
April
11th, sir.
At 6 p.m. with dinner.
Work session with. Does that work for you too? Should I? Sorry.
To help us to be better prepared for this work session, what do we need to have and not have? Well, it seems that every time we get together for it, we start going through all the numbers, and it takes us the whole. I know that's what it's all about, but that's what takes us the whole work session.
So we have the numbers in advance, so we don't have to sit through a PowerPoint presentation and actually sit at the table and go over the numbers.
I would like to change the setting. Honestly, if it's going to be a work session where we're a little more casual, if it's possible to get into a classroom or something, I don't know if that's feasible. But I mean,
can we go over to Edgewood?
You can go anywhere.
Wow. All right.
They have a smart board in there.
they were learning.
That might distract us. Yeah, all the cool technology.
Is there enough room for enough for, you know, if we have a group this size?
Well, I mean, there are a lot of options.
All right, we'll figure it out. But back to your question, I guess. You know, really the point of that conversation is we'll have a better understanding from where Retire Hire is, and we'll have a better understanding of what our shortfall is going to be. And at that point, the conversation, we need to start talking about how are we going to deal with that. I mean, we can only talk about what our shortfall is for so long, and then at some point we're going to have to talk about what we're going to do about it. And that's so.
That's what I mean. What can we do to prepare for it as well?
I think a lot of it's going to come
on.
We need to get a definite answer from the governor.
Oh, you won't have it by then.
You won't have it by then.
You won't have that even after it leaves.
By then.
No, you won't.
And I think the more that, you know, the discussion is probably going to come more from Larry and Cindy about, you know, these are kind of the. Yeah,
but
from.
I need your ideas too.
Absolutely,
where you want to dive in,
and absolutely,
where you want, shortfall to come from.
Thing. You know, the extra.
You know, we want to look at okay, what are the areas that don't affect curriculum that we can, you know, that don't terribly hamper those programs, but still, you know, save us a little bit of money, and then let's, you know, if we need to talk about compensation, then
I think we look at the salary schedule and understand. I mean, I. Maybe we got to do some research ahead of time, but I think we look at the salary schedule and see what kinds of options there are for building something that's a little more sustainable in the future. And, you know, we talk about maybe, I don't know what we can talk about in an open session.
You talk about generalities.
Generalities.
You want to talk about salary schedule across the board.
Okay.
Schedules.
Schedule, I guess, whatever you want to call it.
But and that's where I think it's important to have the MEA there, and I think it's important to have the finance.
I bet you $10 they will be there.
engaged in the
discussion. Absolutely.
And I think some of the members from the finance committee, we got some brilliant people there with some outside, out-of-the-box thinking.
What's that?
Invite them to the table.
So would there be a chance that we could have some sort of draft of the extracurriculars things along with whatever it is up
you
to
You will
that
have
point.
That. Okay. I think.
Does that answer your question?
We're real close to that, Tracy.
I just want to make sure we don't go there and we just.
No, it sounds like we're going to have a lot of things to talk about, at least from what I'm hearing here.
Actually, you need, you know, from my standpoint,
sure.
April 30th is a key date, you know, from a staff standpoint, because the contracts have to be let. By state law, by April 30th. So decisions have to be made in April.
So April 11th would be good time to start looking at things?
I'm sorry?
So then that would be good to have this meeting on the 11th?
Absolutely. I mean, we've got to make decisions in April. Okay. We just have to. And not knowing, we're not going to know what's happening in Columbus. We're not going to know.
No.
Even when they decide, we're not going to know what's happening in Columbus.
Right. So August, at least earliest.
Well, and then if there's a lawsuit, who knows?
It wasn't what I was driving at.
You know, against whatever's passed. You know, there could be a referendum against some things that are passed. So we'll see. I mean, there are lots of things going on there.
I don't know if we can ever.
Lots that don't help us, get the picture real clear. So we're just going to have to take the best shot and do what's best for Mary, so.
I agree. All right, was there anything else on that then? Okay, if not, I'll open up one last time, public participation. Anybody like to speak? Really?
Yeah, no, just a reminder, kindergarten registration tomorrow and Wednesday. We invite anybody to stop in. It's really fun to see our young learners that are incoming.
You're not going
to
test us, are you? We show up. You made me take that crawl again. I was just barely over the mark the last time. So.
All you ever needed to learn, you learned in kindergarten.
You're a great book.
Yes.
Why are we funding the rest of it then?
Exactly.
It should be done after kindergarten.
Exactly. I think some are.
It is fun to see them. So we are solid 8 to 7 both days. So we're at the old middle school. on Maple Street, so you're welcome to stop in.
Will there be cookies and milk?
Yeah, just about to ask that.
There will be.
Then, I'm sure someone on this table will show up.
No, there'll be carrots.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to say that not having any more children in the district, I know you all find that hard to believe because I'm so young, but anyhow, my daughter is even though it's only her second quarter at Ohio State University, she is actually a sophomore because she received 30 quarter-hour credits from the AP test. And I just heard from her today, and she's in advanced level classes at Ohio State, and she got a 4 point this year. So if it wasn't for the people that took the time, that did what they did, that have shaped her, I mean, yes, it was her dad and I, but more than her dad and I, it was what the district did for her that has allowed her to do things that most parents dream of for their kids. So I just think that needs to be considered and thought about when all of these decisions are made.
I agree, but I know the dad. It's all you.
Yes, sir.
I second that.
Just a reminder, the choir concert is tomorrow at 7 o'clock, and if any of the board members want to come, we'll reserve you a nice seat.
At the high school? Bunsell.
High school.
All right.
High school. Final home show of the show choir and
the show choir.
A whole bunch of good stuff.
All right, 7 o'clock. All right.
Call all right. 6:30
and
if you
want to
see.
That's right. And it only lasts for an hour and a half, so it's not okay. A brutal sort of
thing. All right.
So if you wouldn't mind taking a roll of who's going to show up.
Well, we're all going to say we were there.
Thank you, but I'm out of town.
Oh,
that's
right. Thank you.
All right, well, if there's nothing else, then I need a motion to move into executive session.
So moved. Oh, motion.
Yeah.
Second.
Got it.
Second. Moved in second. Roll call.
Clear.
She's very quiet.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Mabey.
Yes.
Mr. Prager.
Yes.
Mr. Freudberg.
Yeah. All right. Motion carries. We will not be taking any action when we come back out of executive session. Oh, but we are going to take a quick 5-minute break.
Or 10 or 20. We'll run down to Pizza Hut.
Hey, here we go. All right. We are out of executive session at 9:16. I need a motion to adjourn, please.
So moved.
Second.
Moved in second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Mabey.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yeah.
All right, we are adjourned.